it's not sufficient for us as individuals, as pastors, as elders, or as members of particular congregations. It's just not sufficient for us to sit in our church buildings week after week and expect that the multitudes are going to flock to us. It's just not going to happen. When we look at the New Testament, hopefully when we get done with this particular lesson this morning, we'll see that the principles upon which our Lord Jesus Christ operated were quite different. He just did not sit in one place and expect people to come to him. Now, to get at this whole subject, I'd like for us to concentrate on this phrase in verse 35. Jesus was going about all the cities and the villages. And I'd like for us, first of all, just to see what that means. Jesus was going about all the cities and villages. And then I'd like for us to look at some examples in the ministry of Jesus concerning this text. But that's not far enough. We need to look at the specific instruction of Jesus to the disciples in light of this text. And we need also to look at some examples from the apostles' ministries to see whether or not Jesus, in his teaching, was effective in stirring up the apostles to do exactly what he did. And I think when we put all of that together, we can see a pattern for ministry for each of us. And that's really what I'm after. Applying what we're talking about to our specific situation right here. So let's first of all look at the specific meaning of this text. And Jesus was going about all the cities and villages. Jesus was out moving around, wasn't he? No question about it. And this was a continuous activity as we read this particular text. Jesus was going about and he was passing through all the cities and villages. Now, if we understand this particular text properly, it seems to me that there are two sides to it. First of all, there is this simple statement that Jesus was going about all the cities and villages. And if you turn back to Matthew 4:23, you see a parallel. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. And Jesus was going about in all Galilee. Now, the words are very similar. In one place, it's Jesus was going about all the cities and villages. And in the other place, Jesus was going about in all Galilee. Galilee was a county-sized district. It was probably about 40 miles long and about 25 miles wide. And we can see Jesus going from one city and village to another throughout that district, one after the other, passing, traveling about, going from city to city and from village to village. And that's the first way we can understand this particular text in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus was going about all the cities and villages. But now there's a second way to take this particular text. Jesus, you see, not only went from city to city, Jesus also passed through and went about in each city and village he came to. We get that out of the very specific meaning of the word. He passed through. He went about. See, he went about all the cities and villages. Not just from one city and village to another, but he went about each city and each village he came to. In other words, he just did not sit in one place in each city and village. He made the rounds. He made the rounds. And it seems to me that fact just has to be emphasized over and over and over again. Now, something else we see from the beginning of verse 35. Jesus went about all the cities and villages. Cities and villages. Now, in the time of Jesus, I would suppose that a city of this size would have been considered a big city in Galilee. And Jesus would go about a city like this, go around a city like this. Those cities were probably cities that had walls. That's why they were called cities. They were fortified. But Jesus also went around the villages. The villages were little hamlets. Just the little spots in the road. Today we'd say if you blinked your eyes, you'd miss it. But Jesus went around those little villages too. He didn't miss a place. And I think it's very interesting for us to see that. Jesus was going about. Now, the fact is then, that Jesus didn't come to a particular city and set up a camp in the town square and announce that he was going to have meetings and expect the people to come to him. That was not his method of operation. Let's look at how Jesus went about a particular city. Look, if you would, at Matthew chapter 4 again. Verses 12 and 13. Now when he had heard that John had been taken into custody, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and settled in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. Here is the city of Capernaum. Jesus made his home in Capernaum. Capernaum became the headquarters for the Galilean ministry of Jesus. And when we read the Gospels, we find out that this is one of the cities that Jesus went about. Let's look at how he went about this town. Verses 18 and 19 in chapter 4. And walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea. And they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Jesus is down on the beach. Did he wait for those men to come to him? No, he didn't. He was out around that city. Go now to Matthew 8. Matthew 8, verses 5, 6, and 7. Here again we see him in Capernaum. And when he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, entreating him and saying, "Sir, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering great pain." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." Did Jesus say, "Bring him to me"? No, he didn't. He said, "I will come and heal him." Jesus was ready to go to the home of this centurion. Would this have been a popular thing for him to do? To go to the home of a Roman centurion? Not at all. Quite to the contrary. The Romans were despised by the Jews. But Jesus was prepared to go to this man's home. Matthew 8 again, verses 14 and 15. And when Jesus had come to Peter's home, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick in bed with a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and began to wait on him. Now here we have another interesting circumstance. Jesus is found in another home. Let me ask you a question. Did Jesus go to that home to visit a sick woman? You look at this text and later you examine the parallel texts, and you'll find that Jesus did not go to this home to visit a sick woman. He found her there when he went to the home. And that's so often the case. Behind those doors are people who are distressed. And Jesus went to the home of Peter, and when he got there, he found this woman. Sick, fever, and he healed her. Matthew chapter 9. We go on. Verse 1. And getting into a boat, he crossed over and came to his own city. Jesus had been away from Capernaum. And now he comes back across the Sea of Galilee and returns to Capernaum. Verse 9. And Jesus passed on from there. What is Jesus doing in the city now? Catch that phrase. And Jesus passed on from there. He's going from place to place within the city. And Jesus passed on from there. He saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax office. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. Jesus is now in the office of the Internal Revenue Service, calling disciples. Would we go to the office of the Internal Revenue Service to call disciples to Christ? Far be it from us, we would say. The fellow might come and, I'd be up for an audit. Very interesting. Jesus at the tax office. Verse 10. And it happened that he was reclining at table in the house, that as he was reclining at table in the house, behold, many tax gatherers and sinners came and joined Jesus and his disciples at the table. Where is Jesus now? Jesus is in the home of Matthew, the tax gatherer. Look at the parallel passages. Look at Luke particularly, and you find that's where he is. Jesus is in another home. And that fact needs, it seems to me, to be emphasized. Eating and teaching in the home. Jesus was going about the city, you see. Matthew 9, verse 18 and following. And while he was saying these things to them, behold, there came a synagogue official and bowed down before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." And Jesus rose and began to follow him, and so did his disciples. Jesus is ready again to go into the home of this synagogue official. Now notice what's taking place here. And behold, a woman who had been suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she was saying to herself, "If I only touch his garment, I shall get well." But Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, "Daughter, take courage. Your faith has made you well." And at once the woman was made well. What is Jesus doing? He is on his way to the synagogue official's house. And I think the question can be asked, would Jesus have had this encounter with this woman if he had not been in the road, literally, going about the town on the way to this synagogue official's house? Well, I think the answer is no. He would not have had this encounter with this woman. You see, he was out going around the town. And that's where he met the people who were in need. Let's continue with this portion. And when Jesus came to the official's house and saw the flute players and the crowd in noisy disorder, he began to say, "Depart, for the girl is not dead, but is asleep." And they were laughing at him. But when the crowd had been put out, he entered and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And this news went out into all the land. You can see the scene. Jesus comes to the house and he says, "Don't fear, the girl's not dead." And there's laughing and there's jeering. He goes in anyway. Into the house to minister to the needs in that household. Matthew 9 again, verses 27 through 29. And as Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." And after he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And they said to him, "Yes, Lord." And then he touched their eyes, saying, "Be it done to you according to your faith." And their eyes were opened. Here Jesus is in another home. And again, I think if you carefully examine the construction of the original language, it fits very closely to that which is found when Jesus goes into the home of the tax gatherer. I think we have a case here where Jesus goes into the home of these blind men and they're healed. What is Jesus doing? He is going out about the town. That's the thing. That's the thing that needs to be understood. And you see, when we look at these words in Matthew 9:35, if you turn back to that again, and Jesus was going about all the cities and villages, what we see Jesus doing explains to us the meaning of these words. Now, since it was the practice of Jesus to go about the cities and villages, what did Jesus expect from his disciples? Well, let's look at Matthew 10. Just go a little bit further. Matthew 10, verse 1. And having summoned his 12 disciples, he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. He summons the disciples together now. And he gives them authority. Now, drop down to verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out after instructing them, saying, "Do not go in the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter any city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. Do not acquire gold or silver or copper for your money belts, or a bag for your journey, or even two tunics or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worthy of his support. And into whatever city or village you enter, inquire who is worthy in it, and abide there until you go away. And as you enter the house, give it your greeting. And if the house is worthy, let your greeting of peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your greeting of peace return to you. And whoever does not receive you or heed your words, as you go out of that house or that city, shake off the dust of your feet. Truly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." The first thing to see here is that Jesus sent out his disciples into the cities and villages. That's the first thing to see. Again, in accord with his own practice, Jesus expected the disciples to be out in the cities and villages. The disciples were not to sit in one place with their knowledge of the kingdom. Now look at verse 11. "And into whatever city or village you enter, inquire who is worthy in it, and abide there until you go away." Now we could launch into a discussion of home missions here, I think. But that's not the purpose of our being together. Notice what's happening. "And into whatever city or village you enter, inquire who is worthy in it." In other words, there are individuals in the city who are sympathetic to the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Inquire in that city who is worthy, who is sympathetic, and set up a headquarters there. Go into that house and stay there. Set up a headquarters. William Hendrickson says, in commenting on this text, he says, "Having established themselves in the homes of those who are worthy, the apostles must now go from home to home bringing the gospel." Now that's what William Hendrickson says is taking place. In other words, as he views it, the apostles or the disciples being sent into a particular city, set up a headquarters in a particular base, and from that position they begin to go out in the city, out around the town. Now, if you look also at, verse 14. "And whoever does not receive you or heed your words as you go out of that house or that city, shake off the dust of your feet." What do the disciples do? They do not go to only one house in an individual city. I think we can see that clearly from verse 14. Because Jesus says, as you go out of that house or that city. It's not that they just went to one house in one city, and if they weren't received, then they passed on to another city. Not at all. I think what we have here is a picture of what Jesus did. He went about each city and village and going about each city and village involved going to the homes of people in each city and village. And when the apostles or the disciples had gone through a city or village, then they left. It went on to the next city or village. But I think we see confirmation of that in a little bit as we look at the ministry of the disciples in Jerusalem. Now, something else needs to be emphasized here. We are hesitant about doing what we commonly call cold turkey calling. And I've talked to a lot of people about this, and they'll say, well, Pastor, if you go out and make the initial contact, then I'll go back and talk to them. Well, sooner or later, someone is going to have to be out there to make the initial visit on an individual. Sooner or later, someone is going to have to do it, whether it's the pastor or the elder or the member of the congregation. Now, if you look at Luke chapter 10, Luke 10, 1, I think we see this situation spoken of. Luke 10, 1. Now, after this, the Lord appointed 70 others. The band is getting bigger, isn't it? And sent them two and two ahead of him into every city and place where he himself was going to come. What did Jesus do? Jesus didn't prepare the way himself. He gathered disciples around him and he sent them out into cities and villages, two by two, to go to those places where he was about to come, to prepare the way for him. See? That's why I say, sooner or later, individuals in a congregation are going to have to enter this groundbreaking activity. It wasn't any different in that day than it is today. Jesus expected it of his disciples. It was the practice of Jesus, you see, to go about in each town he went to. And part of the ministry of Jesus was to enter homes. And Jesus expected his disciples to do the same thing. When we look at Matthew 9:35, and those words, Jesus was going about all the cities and the villages, it seems to me that all we've talked about so far really begins to flesh out those words. Well, did the disciples learn from Jesus? Yes, they did. Let's look at the ministry of the disciples in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 5, verse 42. Acts 5, 42. The very last verse in Acts chapter 5. Tremendous lesson here. And every day, the scriptures say, and every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. There were two main means of ministry utilized by the early church. Public proclamation of the word. In the temple, proclaiming the word of God. The public proclamation of the word is of utmost importance and it must be maintained. And, the text says, from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching. What did the disciples do? They taught the word of God. They proclaimed the word of God. They took the gospel from house to house. I don't see how we can avoid that. I just don't see how we can avoid that. And how often did they do it? Once a month, the church set up a visitation night. Once a quarter, they had an evangelism seminar. No. Daily. Can you imagine that? Daily. Every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Every day. Is it any wonder that the church grew as it did?
I don't think it is. When we see the work that they were engaged in every day in the temple and from house to house, bringing the word of God. Of course people were brought into the kingdom. Look at the work they were engaged in. And then if the 12 were engaged in this kind of work, the Apostle Paul was not far behind. Look at Acts 20, verses 17 through 21. Acts 20, 17 through 21. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia, how I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and trials which came upon me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, I think we're going to have to struggle with those words. Some of us are, perhaps. For over 3 years, the Apostle Paul in Ephesus, preaching publicly and from house to house. Can we avoid those words? I think not. I think they confirm for us the meaning of Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, where Jesus was going about all the cities and villages. And I think this brings us to a very crucial question. Are we willing to follow the example and the instruction of Jesus? Are we willing to do it? You see, it's not sufficient for us to sit here and wait for people to come to us. It is not. And if we are doing that, we are not following the example of Christ, nor are we following the instructions of the Scriptures. I'm convinced of that. We have to be out in the highways and the byways going about the town. And one way to do that, is to go to the homes of people. Jesus went where the people were. He went to their places of business. He went down on the beach. He went to their homes. Are we ready to do that? We need to be. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, help us with these words. And grant, Father, as we discuss them some, that you will work in our hearts to help us understand our responsibilities to you and your gospel. We ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.